This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
And today we're talking about a miracle. It's found in John chapter 6. Look at what verse 10 says. It says, "And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place," and I've been there. There is much grass in this place on that hillside. "There was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in the number being about 5,000. Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain." Let me tell you something. It's not the message, folks, but Jesus was not a wasteful person. He was not wasteful. He said, no, you gather up the fragments. God doesn't want us to be wasteful either. God doesn't want us to be wasteful. "You gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." A brief word of prayer. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. Meet the needs of this hour. Those people that are watching online, listening by means of radio, meet the needs of their hearts. And God, for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Folks, I want to talk to you about the most recorded miracle in the Bible. Now, I told you that Jesus, the record is that Jesus performed 37 miracles. Now, Pastor, what would be the most recorded miracle in the Bible? Would it be when he turned the water into wine? Would it be when Jesus walked on the water? Would it be when he perhaps raised up Lazarus from the dead? What would be, Pastor, the most recorded miracle? Folks, it's the one we're preaching about today. It's when Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and everybody had fish and chips, amen? Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fishes, everybody had fish and chips. Now the Bible says in verse 2 of John 6 that the crowd was building, because you've got to understand, he had performed 18 miracles up to this time. He turned water into wine. That'll draw a crowd, amen? I mean, they were coming. He had performed 18 miracles, so the crowd was building. And then verse 4 says, it was the Passover. Now, the Passover is one of the Jewish feasts. It's actually a 7-day feast that they celebrate to this day. It represents they were in bondage in Egypt, but God delivered them. And they still celebrate, by the way, that freedom that they have. So the crowd, the Passover, the miracles, the crowd was building. So I want you to know, Jesus said there were 5,000 men here. But this is what I know. If they were 5,000 men, they were some women also there. Not only were there women there, but there were children there. So experts believe they were somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. Somewhere between 15 and 20,000 people. And in verse 5, Jesus said to Philip, Philip, do we need to go down to Chick-fil-A? Do we need to go to the Dairy Queen? Do we need to go somewhere and get meals that all these people can have something to eat? Perhaps we need to do that. And then verse 6 says something, folks. And this he said to prove him or to test him. You know what that tells me? That tells me that God will test us. That God will test you and God will test me. Now, when I was in school, I wasn't a good student. I was in the bottom half that made the top half possible. I wasn't a good student. I've often told the story. I came home. My grades weren't good. My report card wasn't good. My mother got upset. And my sister said, "Mama, don't get upset. There's a positive side to this." Mama said, "What is it?" She said, "At least we know Benny's not cheating." Here's what I can tell you. When I was in school, they taught you a lesson. And then you had a test. But let me tell you about life. Life is a test that teaches you a lesson. Life is a test that teaches you a lesson. There was a guy in Daniel chapter 3. Narcissism at his highest. His name was Nebuchadnezzar. He wanted an image of himself. He built an image of himself. And he said, "Everybody, when you hear the music, bow down and worship me or my image." But there was three Hebrews: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, let's look at what they said. It says, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us." Folks, let me say something. The God that you serve today is able to deliver you. The God we serve today is able to see us through. But you hear me closely. You say, "Wait, Pastor, why didn't God deliver them out of the fiery furnace?" Sometimes God don't deliver you out of the fiery furnace. He delivers you in the fiery furnace. He delivers you in the fiery furnace. Well, the Bible says, they said, "He will rescue us from your power, your majesty." But get this, folks. "But even if he doesn't," we all probably ought to read that twice. Amen. "Even if he doesn't," we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden statue you have set up. Our God is able to do it, but wait. "Even if he doesn't." When Barbara and I got married, she had seizures. Many of you know the story. Have a seizure and gush up blood. Have a seizure, and because she would jerk and exert herself so much, she'd weigh herself and be 5 pounds lighter. 14 pills a day. But we prayed. And God touched her. And the Mayo Clinic said there's a scar on the brain. You'll always have them. But apparently God didn't know about the scar on the brain. I guess he did. But he touched her anyway. But I want to tell you something. For every prayer we ever prayed for Barbara's healing, we prayed 3 that she could have a baby. For every one prayer we ever prayed for her healing, we prayed three that she would get pregnant. But ladies and gentlemen, it never happened. She said, "Pastor, I don't like this type of preaching. Well, I'm just preaching the Bible." Even if he doesn't. Oh God, I want you to send my wife back, even if he don't. God, I want you to touch my body, even if he don't. God, I want my prodigal to come home. No. Even if he don't. God, I want to get that promotion, even if he don't. I want my wife to be healed, even if he don't. I've learned that faith means trusting in advance what only makes sense in reverse. Could you imagine if Jesus said, "There's not a greater among you than you," and called your name? Whew, what a high honor. He did it to a man. His name was John the Baptist. He said, "Wait. There's not a greater among you than John the Baptist." Whew. What a high honor. But let me tell you something about this guy. The Bible says in John 10 and 41, he did no miracles. What? He was the greatest, but he did no miracles. What if he don't? What if he don't? What if he doesn't? Now I want you to see four quick things. The first thing I want you to see is I want you to see the leaders. See, sometimes God wants to use us to be a part of the miracle. I want you to see that sometimes God wants to use us to be a part of a miracle. First of all, let's talk about Philip. Philip looked to cash. Philip looked to cash. See, what are you talking about, Pastor? Well, Jesus said it was getting late. Do we need to feed all these people? They'd probably like something to eat. Do we need to feed them? And Philip said, wait. 8 months of wages is not equivalent enough. 8 months of wages is not equivalent enough. See, Philip thought that cash could fix every problem. And sometimes, folks, we think cash will fix every problem. Now, let me quickly say, if a man or woman tells you they're not interested in money, they'll lie about other things also. Because there's an element, so much of it, you have to live. I've often said, folks, I like what money will buy, but I love what money won't buy. See, money will buy you a house, but it won't buy you a home. Money will buy you a bed, but it won't buy you a good night's sleep. Money will buy you a companion, but it won't buy you a friend. Money will buy you a clock, but it won't buy you time. Money will buy you medicine, but it won't buy you health. I like what money will buy, but I love what money can't buy. And Philip said the answer is cash. And some people think, folks, oh, cash will fix everything. My money will take care of everything. But let me tell you something. Sometimes you'll be in a dilemma, in a situation, and all the money of the world won't fix it. All the money in the world won't take care of it. I'll tell you something else. There was a guy there by the name of Andrew, and Andrew didn't look to the cash, he looked to the crowd. He said, "Let me look at my network. Who's got what? There's a lad here that's got five loaves and two fishes." And some people said, "Oh, Pastor Benny, my connections, my relationships, my network will take care of everything." But let me tell you something. God wants to move you past people. God wants to move you past your previous experience. God wants to move you past your point of logic. Many times, folks, we want to look to cash. We want to look to the crowd. But here's what's interesting. Nobody looked to Christ. I wish I could have been there. I would have said, Philip, come up. Philip, if he did it with the wine, he can do it with the bread. Philip, you was there. If he did it with the wine, he can do it with the bread. See, I see the leaders, but I see something else. I see a lad. I see a lad. Now, here's what's interesting. There's three things I want you to know about that lad. Number one, he was unknown. Think about this. I told you this is recorded in the four Gospels, but John is the only person who mentioned him in the story. Matthew never mentioned him. Mark never mentioned him. Luke never mentioned him. Only one writer even chose to write about this little boy. It was John. But now here, talking about a bummer, he didn't even give his name. He said, Pastor Benny, nobody even knows my name. Folks, that's not what's important. I heard a guy the other day said, I want to make Jesus famous. I thought, brother, he already is. There's no other name given among heaven, among men, whereby we must be saved other than the name Jesus, the Lamb of Glory. You say, wait, Pastor, nobody knows my name. Well, I got good news. I'm enjoying this. According to Isaiah 49, I'll tell you somebody who knows your name. God knows your name because God's got your name tattooed in his hand. God knows your name. And if God knows your name, it's more important than all the people of the world knowing your name. Now wait. He was unknown. But he was unselfish. You say, preacher, how do you know? Well, he gave the five loaves. I don't know that I would have done it. Can you imagine? Maybe, I don't know what the loaves were. What if it was those garlic biscuits? What if it was those garlic biscuits down at Red Lobster? I might have wanted to keep two for myself. Amen. Or that those breadsticks from the Olive Garden. Oh, Jesus. Or maybe it was one of those fluffed up old Charlie Rose. I don't even know if old Charlie's in business anymore. But fluffed up old Charlie's Rose. Put that butter on it. I don't know that I wouldn't want to give it up. Some of you, I can tell you wouldn't. But he gave it all. Hear me closely. I've never known God to use a selfish person. I've never known God to use a selfish person. Five loaves, two fishes, it's yours. And by the way, don't you get thinking you're mine. When I used to, Pastor Benny, laying them big fillets out there. Captain Anderson's, here we come. No. They was little old sardines. Study your Bible. Little old sardines. But he gave it up. Look, he was unknown. He was unselfish, but he was unforgettable. Till I read this story today, be honest with me, you had forgotten Philip was in the story. Until I read this story today, you had forgotten that Andrew was in the story. Until I read this story today, the only one you remembered was that little old boy. That little old boy. But folks, when we do something to honor and glorify God, it's unforgettable. Now wait. I see the leaders. I see the lad. I got to hurry. I want you to see the loaves. The 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He gave it. Let me give you 3 attitudes concerning giving. Attitude number 1. What's mine is mine. The word is selfish. The word is selfishness. A baby says, mine. If you're still saying, mine, come out the back door, I'll burp you. What's mine is mine. I've never known God to use a selfish person. One lady said to me, Pastor, my husband's the most self-centered man on earth. I said, why would you say that? She said, he won a trip for 2 to Hawaii. I said, well, that's not self-centered. She said, yes, it is. He went twice. One lady said, I'll tell you my marriage problem, preacher. I said, well, why are we talking? She said, my marriage problem is my husband and I are both in love with the same man. It's all about me. It's all about me. What can we do for me? Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care who or she is. If it's all about them, don't you ever think they're going to be good to you. If it's all about them, don't you ever think they're going to be good to you. Because they've settled the fact of who it's all about. It's all about them. Boy, it got quiet in this Episcopalian church. Elbows were moving. The second thing, what's yours is mine. That's called stealing. What's yours is mine. Let me give you another word. Socialism. But either way, it don't work. Either way, it don't work. We have opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. What do we get as an American? We get an opportunity to go to work, make a difference, make an impact. That's the blessing of America. And I'm for taking care of less fortunate people. I'm for taking care of the poor and needy. I'm taking care of people that are in distress. But let me tell you something. There's nothing in the entire Word of God that's biblical about taking money from a man who works hard and gives it to a bum who won't work. There's nothing biblical about that. You say, Pastor Benny, you're very firm. No, I'm soft concerning what the Bible says. The Bible says if a man's able to work and will not work, he should not eat. The Bible said, don't you give to him. You let him starve to death. I'm glad 2 agree with me anyway. What's mine is mine. It's selfishness. Look, what's yours is mine. It's stealing. What's mine is God's. It's stewardship. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Sometimes a pastor will say, Brother Benny, come and teach my people on stewardship. And I'm thinking, why won't you do it? And I'll get up and I'll say, hypothetically, folks, if you make $500 a week, how much of it's God's? Somebody wants to be spiritual. Now, throw that hand up, trying to impress me and impress the crowd. And they'll say, preacher, $50. And it does me such good satisfaction to say, you're wrong. Hear me, folks. If I make $500 a week, I'll tell you how much is God's, every bit of it. He's the owner. We're just the manager and stewards. And folks, let me tell you something. When you get stewardship right, you'll understand that every decision you make concerning finances is a lordship decision. Every decision you make, go get this, I'm done. I'll move to the next point. And somebody said, praise God. I'll move to the next point. Because all money is tainted. It taint yours and it taint mine. It's his. Give me just a second. Good preaching, Benny! I'm done. I looked at the leaders, we looked at the lad, we looked at the loaves, but let's don't miss the most important part. Let's look at the Lord and we'll be done. By the way, that's the most important part of any miracle. God showed me something this week that I don't know that I've ever seen before. Maybe I have, but you know, with the ADD and dementia, you know, it all gets. This story is in Mark chapter 6, verse 41. Look what it says. And when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided among them all. Look, before the miracle took place, there had to be a breaking. I'll tell you what's happened in my life. Many times God has done a miracle. But before he did the miracle, he broke me. He breaks us of self-sufficiency. He breaks us of pride. He breaks us of malice. He breaks us of greed. He breaks us of self-ambition. Many times before God does a miracle, he breaks us. He breaks us. Our senior adult pastor, Darrell Woodruff, does a tremendous job. He said, Brother Benny, you need to go see this movie. Tell me about it, Darrell. It's called I Can Only Imagine Part 2. So I said, Barbara, let's go. We bought our tickets. Went up to the concessions. Got Cokes. Popcorn. Made her way toward the movie. I said, Barbara, before we go in, I want to make a phone call. She said, who? I said, I want to call the police. We've been robbed. After going, I understand why I don't go. But it's a great movie. And it ended with that song, Even If He Don't. Even if he don't. See, folks, I've made up my mind. I believe God can do miracles. But even if he don't. It's okay. Lord, I'm going to live for you. Even if you don't. You're still the best thing that ever happened to this old boy. Even if you don't. So you say, Pastor, I want God to touch my marriage. One of the services, I looked down and I saw a daddy praying for a daughter that had cancer. And he said, even if you don't, God, I want this to happen in my life. But even if it doesn't, you're still good. And you're still God. And you're still the best thing that's ever happened to me. Oh, can we give him a clap offering? Even if he don't.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.